place of the Canaanite and the Hethite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusites. Now, behold, the cry of the sons of Israel have come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. May God bless the reading of his word. As I mentioned, these simple truths from the book of Exodus struck my heart, and I want to share it with you. The first truth from the book of Exodus is God sees. It's obvious. And maybe many people today ask question, does God see me? Does God see my inner being, my thoughts, my cry? Does God know me? We are a very small assembly. I'm one individual among the billion of people. And in today's technological world, there are a lot of cameras. Even now, when you go out, you are scanned, you know. There are a lot of cameras. You are watched. You are maybe controlled. And but maybe you ask, does God see me? Does God see my trouble? Does God see my uncertainty, my fear? So we see that in this book at the beginning starts, these are the names. We may say, well, that's God's special people. God is dealing with them through ages and bringing Jesus, Messiah. And it's so great to, those names are recorded. We also have a birth certificate and our names are recorded somewhere. And when we might compare our status, our how God sees us, I'm reminded of the verse from 1 Peter, very precious words that also tells us about who we are in God's sight. We who were not his people, who are we now? In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, but you are chosen race, royal priesthood, a holy nation, people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You are special. God owns you. You belong to him. So it's great, the first two, that God see you, and you are special in his sight. In Psalm 34, he says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. They see you. God sees you. You're not unnoticed. God knows you. And in Proverbs 15:3, it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. God sees what is going on in this world. In my state, in your state, in India, everywhere. He knows, he sees the every president, every premier, know what he's doing, what he's thinking. And he knows, he sees you. He says, I have surely seen. Not just God sees, but he also hears. I know that in past, my dad made movie. It was old-fashioned camera with no sound. So when the sound came, and the stereo sound, that was amazing. Maybe you older folks remember that. But God hears. He's not far away. He's close, as we were reminded, nearer. who cannot be nearer to us through Jesus Christ. He heard the cry of the people of Egypt. They were crying for help, for deliverance. Maybe you cry to God and ask God, do you hear me? Do you know me? Do you see me? And the word of God says, yes. In Psalm 34, 16, the second part of the verse, he says, his ears are open to their cry. God's ears are open for your cry, when you cry to him. But not just when you cry. Don't take God as your last option. Be ready to thank him every day, even today, for health, for healthy eyes and ears and body. You can move, you can understand, you can notice. It's a gift from God. So don't come to God just when you are in need, when you are in trouble. Always come to him. Thank him. He's good. He's good all the time, and all the time, he's good. Yes, we have a God who is close to us. He sees us better than HD cameras all around the world. And he can hear you better than any instrument or any microphones. We are kind of amazed as we travel how GPS connect us and, you know, controls, and we come to the place we want. Sometimes we miss, like last week, we missed the house of our host who gave us the key, and I tried to enter the key, and there was a sound, this is wrong house. So God saw that I missed the house. God sees everywhere. Even when we mistake, we fall. When we fail, when we sin, God sees it. But he wants to hear also our voice. Not just when we are needy, in need, but to thank him. I am reminded of the story from my childhood of my son. I was teaching him to pray. So I asked him to pray. And he was not in mood. He was very kind of naughty. So I told him, you know, God just want to hear your voice. Okay, daddy. There you go, God. I don't want to pray to you today. I will pray to you tomorrow. Amen. So God heard even that prayer. God hear our inner heart. God knows all our troubles. In Isaiah 41, he says, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, you worm, Jacob, you man of Israel, I will help you, says the Lord. So God is near. God hears you. God is near to all who call on him, to all who call him in truth. We have to be very sincere. God sees us through. He knows better us than we know ourselves. But anyway, he wants to hear. He wants us to recognize that he's close. So God sees, God hears, but also God knows. In 25, God saw the son of Israel, and God took notice of them. In 3:7, he says that I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and had given heed to their cry. I am aware of their sufferings. Well, one of the God's distinctiveness is that he's all-knowing God. He knows what is going on in the world, what is going on in your heart, in your family, in your marriage. Oh, he knows your situation. Maybe some of the variation of the verses is he took notice. He understands. Nobody understands you better than your creator, better than your parents. And he loves you more even. Anybody can love you. I remember also praying with my daughter and assuring her of my love. And I asked her, do you know who loves you more? Yeah, Jesus. That's correct answer. Jesus loves you more than I as a parent can, or our husband or wife, anybody. God knows your situation, and he is that high priest, as in Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but who was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Our high priest identified with us. He became a man in flesh and blood without sin. So he felt the pain. He felt sorrow and joy. But he also felt the nails and the thorn on his head, all the trouble. And no one can compare with the sufferings that Jesus went through. Job was one of the men who suffered, and we are reminded about Job's suffering. But I guess none of us went through what Job went through. And we have high priest. We have advocate. We have a man who is between God and us, who is mediator, who knows God because he's God, who knows man because he is man. He's God in flesh, who came to this world, So God knows you. God knows perfectly what is going on in your head, in your mind. Sometimes can be scary, you know. We can hide our thoughts from close members of our family or friends, but God sees through, God knows what is going on. Even when you lie, and even when you sin in any way, and God knows, and God wants to for you to come to him and ask for forgiveness, because he is the just God, and he sees you through, and he knows you through. So God knew the situation of people in Egypt, knew their suffering. And God, the next truth is God remembered. It's not remembered like he forgot. We forget many things. I am more and more forgetful. And if not be help of my family, I will be lost. I guess it's your experience as you get older, maybe even younger, because we have so much information in this age as never before. So we tend to forget things, and we forget. But God never forgets. God remembered. In 2:24 we read that God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not that he forgot, but he acted upon the promises he made. He long time before said that descendants of Abraham will go through suffering, will be 400 years in the land of Egypt in slavery. But the time will come, and the time came. And God's calendar is going on perfectly. Everything is on time. In the book of John, we read day come, the time came, so Jesus washed his disciples' feet. There was a time when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. There was a time when he had to go through the Calvary. And everything was perfect. God is not late. God doesn't hurry. Everything is on time. And the next thing on God's calendar is rapture. It's when we disappear, to be united with Him, with Jesus, who is preparing wonderful places for us, much better than the houses. As we go through the Dallas, through streets, we notice, oh, what a nice house. Look at that, you know. But cannot compare with the mansions in heaven that wait for us. So our heart should not be tied with the things on this earth that pass. But we have to look forward. We have to expect what is eternal. Expect the day when Jesus will come to take us from this earth and to be where He is. As He said in John 14, I'm preparing a place for you. And when I do that, I will come and take you to be with me. That's our hope. That's our blessed hope. Our hope is not something. Our hope is someone. Our hope is Jesus. Glorify Jesus, who suffered, who died, but who rose again, who is in the glory, and who is taking us on His day. Nobody knows about the day. Maybe we can tend to, okay, now this is the day, this is the day, because this is happening. Yes, God gave us some signs of His coming, but nobody knows. That will be maybe June 26th or June 27th. But we are close. That was throughout the history. We waited for the Church of God, His believers, His family, to be united. And it will happen in a glorious day of the rapture. I'm so excited about day by day, because I will have a healthy knees, I will have healthy eyes, glorious eyes. My body will not ache, your body will not ache. So our body needs redemption, as God redeemed our soul, and our body will be also redeemed. So God is acting upon His promises. He did it in Israel a long time ago, and He'll do that again with us. In chapter 3, verse 8, we read that, "So I have come down." That's the next truth from the book of Exodus that I want to emphasize. God came down. Well, not physically, at that time through Jesus, but God prepared Moses, the great savior, the leader. But as I think about that saying, came down, you know, many people ask today, why God is not doing anything? Why doesn't He act? Because you see this unrighteousness, injustice, the war. But God did something. God came down. Jesus came down from heaven. So that's a great truth that as we think about what is going on in the earth, and people ask us, what is going on? Well, will it be better? Why God doesn't do something? We can answer, yes, God did something. He came more than 2,000 years ago. And He lived a perfect life. And He took the sins of me and you, and He suffered so I can be saved, so I can be in His presence. It's because of Jesus, because of His love, and appreciate His love, and I love Him back. Yes, God came down, and lastly, He delivered. I came down to deliver them. God wants to deliver you, deliver from the bondage of sin, bondage of fear, any kind of bondage that you are tied. God gives you freedom through Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. So those are the truths from the book of Exodus that I want to share with you. God sees you, God hears you, God knows you, God remembers you. God came down. Jesus came down. And he came down to deliver you, to save you. And I'm so glad because of these truths and to share those simple truths, even in this modern age. And God's truth is the eternal and blessed and worthy to share with other people. So I hope this will be encouragement for you as it is, it was for me. I appreciate your prayers for our family as we travel more. We will travel to Florida in a couple of days. But one of the main reasons why we came to the States is because of our daughter's wedding. She's getting married on July 16th, is that right? You're getting married? Yeah. So I am father of the bride. That's something special. I never expected that it will come, but God knew even before we adopted her and raised her, and she became a saved person as our son. So it's great privilege for us to serve the Lord, belong to him, belong to his family, and rejoice. Whatever is going, whatever happens, we are in God's hands. We want to walk with him in his love. May his name be glorified in us. Shall we stand in closing prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us through Jesus, your beloved Son, in whom you were well pleased. Thank you, Lord, for writing the Word, the Bible. Thank you for even writing our names with the blood of Jesus in the Book of Life. Names of us who received you, who trusted you as our personal Savior. Lord, we are so secure in your hands. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for remembering us. Thank you for taking care of us, of our needs daily. Lord, you are worthy to be praised. You're worthy to live and die for you. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for encouragement we can take from your word. And may your name be eternally blessed. In your name we pray. Amen.